Hey everyone, I'm Matt.
And I'm Steven.
And you're listening to
Code Talk with Matt and Steven,
where we sit around chatting about code and stuff.
All right, welcome to episode 5. Today we're going to be talking about APIs. Matt?
Yeah, today we're going to talk about APIs. We're going to be talking about not only APIs that we've consumed, but also in our applications, but also APIs that we're currently working on creating.
Yeah, that sounds good. Now a little backstory: since Matt and I have worked together before, we actually were working on a project where we split it into two backend applications, to where I was writing a backend API for it, and Matt was writing a backend as a front, backend as a service? So you were writing a backend for a frontend, but your backend used my API? Is that a good way to say that?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
And that was nice. That was a lot of fun. We actually got to work really closely together on that, on how we were doing things. It was, you know, how do you want this data? You know, how am I going to build it for you? And that was really the first full-fledged API that I ever wrote. That was, 4 years ago now?
Yeah, that was back before you really had any kind of API standards. So, yeah, we were just going back and forth, and, you know, you'd be like, well, how do you want this data? And I'd be like, well, this is the way I want it. And we kind of did it that way. And, you know, I honestly don't even remember how we did includes and all that kind of stuff that you would normally do now, so...
Well, we used, it was built on Laravel, so we had Laravel behind it, Laravel 4.1 or 2, I believe, and we were using Eloquent for the backend for the model, but we were also using the package from the League of Extraordinary Packages, and what is it called, Fractal, and so it handled all of the inclusions for us and everything like that. We did build some responders, which I built before... I think before Paul Jones ever created the ADR pattern, you know, the action domain responder, mm-hmm. which was pretty cool because when he wrote that, I was like, holy crap, I built a responder before, I knew what it was, but it was something that existed that, maybe had a name. I'm not sure if he coined that or not, but it solved a problem, but it allowed us to, you know, or allowed you to pretty much query it as you would if you were just building it on the back end, you know, with query variables or query string parameters and things like that. But it was great because with the packages and with the models that we had, we were able to easily, you know, filter, sort, search, and do all of that and paginate. It made it really easy.
I do. Yeah, I remember that. That was currently I'm building an API, and that was kind of, yeah, that was our start there. I remember what, you know, you had gotten a new position at another company, so I had taken over the whole project, and I ended up doing some work on the API, and that kind of triggered some ideas, and so what you had started there is actually kind of grown into something I'm working on now. I mean, a lot of what we did, not using Fractal or any of those kinds of things anymore, but, you know, a lot of the ideas that we kind of started with our first API together. That was my first API. I think it was yours as well. Just a lot of those ideas that stayed what we tried to accomplish. And so, you know, for you, I hopefully it's good to know that, you know, some of those ideas are still sticking around.
That is good to know. I always did wonder how, I wondered how, you know, I guess the state of it or how I left that when I felt like I kind of just left you guys, you know, I just was like, bye. And I kind of left you hanging, and I was wondering if it was in a good enough spot, if it was done well enough to where when you got a hold of it, that it would be, I don't know, I guess it would serve your purposes, but it sounds like it did, and that you've been able to kind of take that since then.
We got it to beta, never went past that, but we got it to beta.
Well, that's something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, shortly after that, well, the reason it never went forward is we got a huge project, right on the heels of that one. So we were trying to push that out the door, but we just didn't quite, I mean, we were there, but we just, you know, didn't have the resources to continue moving it forward because of the new project. But a lot of what we did in that project actually translated over to the new project. So the new project, we said, okay, you know, we kind of took a look at what we did in that first project and said, okay, how can we rewrite this to be, you know, to kind of remove some things and add some new things and, you know, just a little bit more of the way we would, you know, as you progress, you learn more. So we tried different things. And so, you know, there's been a couple iterations since our first try. But yeah, I mean, a lot of that stuff is still there. Yeah. A lot of the ideas.
That's good to know. Since then, I don't think I've actually written a full-fledged API since then. I've written API endpoints. I've written, you know, APIs kind of things for the backend, mm-hmm. but not like a full-fledged API anymore. Since then, I've really moved on to more. So yeah, I've written API endpoints for systems, but not full-fledged API anymore. Since then, I've done like more OAuth integrations. I've written a few OAuth servers, but more OAuth clients. I've done more work integrating with third-party APIs. I also, when I started at Helpscout, I started maintaining our PHP public API library, which was a hot mess. It still is a hot mess. Guy I work with, Tom Graham, is currently rewriting it for our version 2 of our public API, which is hopefully going to launch later this year. But I wanted to rewrite the library since I started, so it's been 2.5 years. And when he came on and took the project, I was kind of a little jealous. But after seeing the progress he's done, he was the right person for the job. He's done a lot better job than I would have done with it, which is interesting. But I've integrated, so I'm less opinionated about. I don't know. I guess I have opinions on how APIs should be written from a consumer standpoint since I've done it and I know how I would do certain things. And now that I've integrated with third-party APIs and I have, I've had issues with that and I've had troubles getting the data I need or how I need it to, that I'm just like, why, you know, why did these engineers choose to do it this way? You know, why, like, I would have done it this way, or could I have this feature, please do this, you know, I need it this way. But yeah,
I see what you're saying. Yeah. And you know, what's funny for me is I'm the opposite. I've only, over the last couple of years, I've just been creating APIs. So, in my last project, I decided to pick a standard. So I think, you know, with our first project together, we didn't really have a standard. We used Fractal. I guess it did use includes and you know, did a few other things, but it wasn't like a standard, you know what I mean? So, and I've stuck with JSON API. So in the last project, maybe was able to implement about 80% of it. And in this project I'm working on, I'm trying to get a full 100%, you know, like JSON API spec, you know, everything returning correctly, as many options as possible. The hard part, I like it a lot. And I think the hard part right now for me is that is still trying to understand it, right? Just the way the related links and all that kind of stuff work. Cause I think it's hard. I think it's hard because, you know, I'm working with one of my teammates and he's writing a complete, you know, we're doing an SPA app. So he's writing basically a query builder, an ORM on the JavaScript side for the JSON API spec for us. And since we have, I think the hardest part of it is that there's no, you know, they have a lot of things detailed very clearly, but they have a lot of things that are not. So you're just kind of learning it as you go. But when it comes to filters, you know, it's very, they're just kind of implement how you want. And so that makes things kind of hard. So you start looking at other people, you know, other way people implement filters, but none of them are the same. And I think that's the part that's kind of getting to me, is that I would love to see, an API spec that just really kind of covered all the bases and said, you know, this, you know, send it out this way. And, you know, if you're going to allow filtering and things like that, you know, this is how it's done. Cause most of the implementations I've seen, are very basic. Like they're only like end queries, you know what I mean? There's no OR queries or subqueries or any of that kind of stuff. So we've kind of, we started building that. So technically, I mean, we're building it in Laravel. So using Lumen, with Eloquent, and we want to support every possible Eloquent style query, So that means has queries, subqueries, you know, ends, ors, all that kind of stuff. And it's working pretty well, actually. We've gotten a lot of that taken care of.
Well, that's good. Is this just internal or is this a public API?
This is an internal API, but we're writing it as if it was a public API. And that's actually another thing that, you know, even though I've written a couple of APIs, they've always been internal. So it's like, let's say, for instance, in this one, you know, I have relationships and I pass IDs, you know, with my attributes. But technically, you know, with JSON API spec, relationships are actually handled differently. So, you know, I should be hiding those IDs and people should be calling the relationship, you know, URLs in order to get those relationships, get those IDs. And you know, so it's a learning experience for me because it's hard that I'm, you know, I have access to, you know, the back end and I understand the database, you know, schema and, you know, the whole architecture of the whole thing. But, you know, I'm thinking about it is as if I were, let's say I said, hey, you know, Steven, start using this API, you know, you're not going to have access to any of that kind of stuff and you're not going to understand it. So what I would be giving you is my API and the JSON API spec and say, cool, go for it. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, normally it's like things that I'm having to hide things that I normally would just leave out there, I guess. And then I just hit an issue with like things like joins, right? So I was like, you know what? I'm going to save some query time. And some of these relationships, we really only need the name, right? Or just a simple, you know, one column from it. So, you know, no point in making like an includes call just to get, you know, just to get like a user's name or something, right? But technically, I can't add those attributes in with a join because it would be expected that you can actually create an entity or, you know, through a resource and add that as an attribute. So there's no way to handle that on the backend API. So there's just like little gotchas that I'm kind of hitting on today. Or not today, but, you know, just with building this API.
You can, with joins, you can select items from that other database or that, that other table.
Right. Like, so I have it, I was able to figure out, so which is really cool. I was able to figure out, you know, how to do the joins, right? And even if somebody were to filter based on that join, not filter, but yeah, actually, yeah, filter or select a field or something like that, you know, limit it to those attributes, they could. So I was able to filter joins and do all that kind of stuff. The only problem that I'm having now is if somebody, like, let's say I had a person and they, and let's say the relationship was a state or something like that. And let's say that state was its own table. So it's a relationship. But let's say I was just sending back the state name in the attributes. Well, when somebody goes to, you know, to create a person, they're going to think that they need to supply a state name. So the thing is, they really can't because it's a join, and that's not the way, at least for the JSON API spec, that's not the way relationships happen. So it's awesome that I can do all, you know, all the filtering and figured all that out. But when it actually comes down to actually creating a person, you know, what do I do? I mean, I can't accept state name. I guess I can send back an error. I mean, this is a good question. What should I do? I mean, should I send that information out and then just throw an error that's not an acceptable attribute?
Well, state as in like a state in inside of your application or like an address or like what?
Yeah, like an address. So okay. Let's say, you know.
So then you would, when you're selecting, right, and when you're querying it, you would embed the state in the address attribute, right? So you'd have an address attribute with state instead of it being the top level attribute. So that way you know its relationship, right? And then I think you have validation to where if you wanted to create a person, you know, if they supply an address, you know, that address has to meet certain validation credential or requirements, right? So it has to have address or street address, city, state, whatever. And if it only has state, then that fails. So the entire create fails, I think. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, but I guess and it's hard to show you because we're on an audio podcast, but the way the JSON API spec works is that you would actually pass the address as a relationship in the document, if that makes sense. So it wouldn't be part of the person's attributes. It would be part of their relationships. So when you send it out, it needs to be sent out as a relationship. And when it's actually being created, so let's say you are creating a person, you know, you'd have an attributes property where you give them all your attributes. And then you'd also have a relationships property where you're passing or creating that new address relationship. So it makes it difficult to actually send data from a join back, because it would make the post process or the creation process or the update process, you know, it wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Is that understandable? Yeah.
Yeah. I think you could still find a way to create, right? Because you wouldn't want to create the person and then create the... I guess you could, you know, I mean, it's supposed to be restful, right? And so it's like you create one resource at a time. So I guess you would have to create the person first, get that ID back, and then create an address for that person, you know? So that would just be more calls, you know? I mean, it's an internal API, so you know, just don't...
Well, I mean, no, technically, what's been cool about the JSON API spec is that you pass a relationship attribute in the data attribute, and with that... you can create a new address in the same call,
which is
really cool. But you have to know that it's a relationship and not part of the person's attributes. So, and that's why I'm saying, like, when somebody does a call, I'm like, cool, I can send all this data back as an attribute, but it'll be confusing to whoever's using it and doesn't know that, hey, this is actually a relationship and this attribute technically doesn't exist.
That kind of leads me to a question. Do you have any kind of docs that you've written for this? I know it's internal and then, you know, somebody can just IM you or lean over and ask you, but do you have any kind of internal documentation for this, whether it's auto-generated or not? I know there are a lot of tools out there, and I think version 2 of our docs are going to be auto-generated, but I think you kind of put everything, you know, in doc blocks or something like that inside your code, and there are some tools that will auto-generate the examples for you and the documentation for each.
You know, what is it? The options header, you know, so I've been looking around and I don't have any documentation, but I really don't want my documentation to live on a website somewhere at this point. You know, I said eventually we'll probably have an external API, right? But I know there's the open API spec, and I still haven't quite wrapped my head around that, but I believe you're supposed to have a URL that actually, with the open API spec, I think it's all it's supposed to do is to tell you, give the user or the consumer information about your API. So it's going to tell you all, you know, everything that you can do and how you can do it. But I haven't figured out if it's its own standard, you know, or does it work with something like JSON API or, you know, some other API spec or something like that. I haven't figured that out. It hasn't quite made sense. I haven't put too much time into it, but that's what I want to figure out though, is, you know, do you make that options header call and you can retrieve everything about that API or at least that endpoint. So let's say you were doing a post, you know what I mean? You can actually call the post endpoint URL with an options header, and it's going to actually just send you back everything you can do, which I think is kind of cool. So,
well, it sounds like you should try and see if your employer will send you to RestFest this year.
That would be cool. That's what, 3 days?
Yeah, it's
Thursday and Friday. Yeah.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I think Thursday is a hackathon, but it actually is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So Wednesday this year, they're doing a I think it's like a workshop day. Thursday's a hackathon, and then Friday, Saturday are the actual, UnCon event.
No, gotcha. Yeah, that would be fun. I've been wanting to go to RestFest for the last couple of years. I haven't had a chance to. That would be cool.
Well, we don't. We're trying to do shorter episodes, and so we've got a few more minutes left, and so
I haven't had a chance to complain about APIs yet. APIs.
So I'm going to complain about other people's APIs. You've been talking about how you're embedding the relationships. You're adding the ways for your front end devs to be able to query and get those relationships back, right? And I commend you for that. I really do. Because I think a lot of APIs should, every API should allow you to do that. It should allow you to filter. I think it should allow you to sort. I mean, I'm not asking for SQL. I'm just asking for some basic control over the data I get back, especially if you're going to rate limit me. And I'll give you an example. So the last API, third-party API that I worked with was with HubSpot. I built the integration into Help Scout using HubSpot's API. And honestly, reading their docs, it was pretty great. I was super excited because their docs were well-written. It was a lot better than Salesforce's docs at the time, which I had spent 11 months on. But then once I actually started using the API, I was super mad. And I actually started missing Salesforce's API because with Salesforce, I was able to use their built-in query language. And I could get whatever I wanted. I was writing SQL pretty much, or at least a flavor of it. But with HubSpot, they built an endpoint for everything. And so I needed to get deals associated to contacts, right? So I'd look up the contact and I'd say, give me all of the deals associated to this contact. Well, they return it in the order in which it was created. So not the deal date. And, so there's no way to filter on that. And it's paginated.
Whoa.
Which kind of sucked. So I think right now we're just kind of displaying the first five, so we're not even handling sorting and filtering on our side of things, because it's just it's just kind of a quick glance kind of thing. But it really irritated me because I was like, if we need to do that, I need to now do however many calls to get all of the pagination results into one set and then filter that in in memory in code myself, because there's no parameter for me to be able to search or filter that on, right? Yeah. And I'm like, I just want a simple filter by date descending, whatever, right? So that was one thing that was really irritating. But they don't really give you a lot of control. And so I'm like, if you're going to rate limit me, then I've really lost a lot of the flexibility, because I now have to work within those limits and the limitations that you've set with your API. So I think they have 10 calls per second or something like that. And so I'm like, if you're trying to get any more than, if you have two customers or users log onto your site and they're using the API at the same time, and you're having to do all of those calls, each call is probably a couple of milliseconds, 50-100 milliseconds, mm-hmm, on a slower connection or something like that. But like I said, if you're trying to do pagination results and you're doing all of those, you can easily hit those per second limit, especially if you have multiple users connected. So it kind of it really sucks, for lack of a better word on that. But I think giving your users, your end users, because you're building an API, and that really is, it's a product. Yes, you may have your product that this API serves, but the API is a product itself, I think. And I think your client base for that are the developers who are going to be using it. And so you should give them some of the freedoms or some of the features or control over how they use it. And interestingly enough, I was so upset and frustrated with their API and with their docs and everything like that, that I went digging, because I know that they had, that they can do a lot of things in their internal application that I wanted to do. I was like, I can get a feed of activity, deals, whatever, I can get all of this at once, And so I started looking into it, and I opened up, their app in Chrome, and I opened up the network tab. And I started monitoring all of the AJAX calls that they were making, and I started inspecting them. And I actually found a really cool, what I called the HubSpot shadow proxy, which I did a blog post on, and I'll link to that in the show notes. It was just kind of something that caught my eye. It was kind of interesting. It's a hidden, it's public too. It's not publicly documented or anything, so don't use it in production, because they could change it if, people start hitting it all of a sudden, but it's something they built internally that's publicly available. And they actually, I guess, behind the scenes, they combine API calls to where they can do into one. And in fact, this is backed up by a blog post I found, a company called Drift. And I think it's on Drift's blog post or Drift blog. One of the lead engineers that's working on their API actually led the team at HubSpot that built their API. And he even talks about basically the regrets or the things that they did incorrectly with the HubSpot API. And he said that, you know, when they were building it, everything was its own call. You know, you had to do this call, you had to do that call. And so when the front end devs would be like, well, we need this bit of information that, you know, the back end devs responded with, do another call. So because this article, endpoint. Yeah, exactly. And so this the guy writing the article was saying that the front end devs actually got so irritated with that, that to circumvent that, they actually wrote a Node.js proxy that would do multi calls at once and then package that into the format that they needed to build their SPA on the front end. And so I think I might have stumbled on the endpoint for that that shadow proxy or that backend Node app that they have. Very nice. And so, yeah, and so there are actually some unpublished, like version 3 URLs or URIs for the API that I found sniffing the network tab. And there were some other cool things that I was actually able to learn through that. And you can get a lot of good information from that. And actually, like, they do have some control, not filters and not sorting or anything, but some of those flags that, you know, query parameter flags that they don't have listed in their documentation, I found through sniffing the network tab. And so I was able to implement that. So I knew that it existed on the back end by seeing what they had done on their front end. And then I was able to do that on our end as well. And so there, I'm using some features that they didn't document. So I'm hoping it doesn't break, you know, anytime soon. But that's kind of what you have to do. That's kind of what I had to do was I was very limited. And so we had to scale back what we wanted to do. We had to rethink how we were going to do it. We had to say, okay, cool. Now that we're having to do all of these calls to get the data we want because we can't bundle them, we can't get nested relationships in one call or anything like that. And, we had to make sure that if we hit a rate limit, you know, we had to retry that call, again, just hoping that we could reconnect it and, get it for our customer. But, you know, and that leads me to one more point is, please, you know, you're doing this with your API, but anybody listening, please allow me as a user of your API to embed or nest sub resources. You know, like Matt mentioned earlier, if I'm getting a user, I would like their address as part of that instead of second call. You know, and I'm not saying you have to go multiple levels. You know, if you want to cap it at a certain amount of levels deep, that's perfectly acceptable. But, you know, in this case with HubSpot, I could have called and gotten the contact. If I could have said, give me the contact with deals, you know, the activity log, you know, opportunities, whatever, and I could have gotten out all in one, that would have been pretty great. I know it's a bigger payload, but it's faster. It's less network time. At least on my end, I think it's less processor intensive, right? Because I'm not doing multiple calls. Luckily, with the way we did it in the back end, we're using Guzzle's asynchronous handler there. So it's doing a lot of these calls, you know, in unison. I still have to do the contacts to get the IDs, but then I can do all of the sub resources all at once. So that did help speed things up a little bit, but that presented its own, you know, challenges.
Well, I got a question for you since you do consume a lot of APIs. Like it seems like, I mean, at Help Scout, I mean, you guys are, you know, integrating with a lot of services to, you know, which makes sense. Would you like to see most of your APIs, like, you know, kind of commit to a standard? I mean, is that something you would like to see? Like, I would assume it'd make your job 1,000 times easier. And instead of saying, hey, okay, here's HubSpot's API, here's Salesforce's API, you know, here's another service we're integrating with. You know, they all their APIs are different. So the challenge is how to get the same amount of information every time, you know. Is that something you'd like to see? Is to say, okay, cool, you know, all these companies just kind of committing to a spec and saying, okay, this is what we're doing.
Not necessarily a specific specification. Specification. you know, but there are a few features I would like from each one. And however you handle them, you know, however you build the rest of the API, I don't really care. It's up to you and your business needs. But if I can get the information back with JSON, if I have some control over how I get the information back or how I query it, you know, with sorting, filtering, stuff like that, and then nested sub-resources. You know, that's just stuff that can save me a lot of time. I think it can save you a lot of time, right? On your end as well, not necessarily building it, but it can save you a lot of time in what your processors are doing, you know, what your servers are doing, because it's less load, I think, right? You don't have all these network calls coming in to get me one piece of information. You know, if I can get it five pieces of information all in one call, so I think that's a little better. But those are the three things that I really would like to see everywhere. With Salesforce, I didn't even actually use their, I used their REST API, as in I, you know, did a GET request to a URL that they said is REST, but I didn't actually use like anything to specifically create or anything to specifically read. I used Salesforce's query language because that was the only way I could get, you know, multiple resources in one response. And so that was how I had to do that to get to save time, which was, you know, really helpful. With HubSpot, I didn't have that. With nested resources or sub-resources, I could get that, you know, really easily. So that's something I would really like everybody to implement, just because it makes our jobs as consumers a lot easier.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned something in your statement, and wouldn't it make more sense to do multiple asynchronous calls? I mean, even if you could do it all in one call, like, doesn't it make sense to say, well, I know the parent and I know all the relationships. You know, wouldn't it make sense to get the parent and then call, you know, you have that ID, call all the relationships, like, you know, asynchronously, get it all back and put it together? I mean, wouldn't that actually, you know, take less time?
It could, if you know that ID, right? So first you have to look up that ID, and then you have to do, like in my case, right, I had to look up contacts, and then I had to look up five pieces of related data to that. So that's six calls, you know, every time. Even if the five subsequent calls are asynchronous, you know, I still have to look up that first one first. If I, as opposed to saying, give me this contact, you know, whether I know the ID or I do it by email or whatever else, right? Give me this contact and these resources. I think that's faster, right? Because you're not waiting on that first response to finish. And then you also don't have to bundle everything. You don't have to zip it all up. That was another thing, right? I had to, with this, I had to use, I did discover the pipeline pattern, which was cool. And I was able to use that. So each stage in the pipeline builds, you know, the next call out to grab the subsequent pieces of data, the nested resources and whatnot. But it, but then I have to zip them all together, you know, and combine that for, you know, consuming on the back end or the front end. And so I think, like, you know, even if you don't return JSON and you return XML or some other whatever, that's easy enough of a fix because you can just write a translator to, you know, in PHP or whatever language. You can just say, here's what it's coming in as, and then give it to me in that language specific, you know, array or class or whatever, you know, so that way when I'm reading it, so all you have to do is add another layer into that. But if it's something like filtering and sorting, you know, and then sub resources, like that's a lot of extra work. And so I think by building those features in and combining that, it saves, your consumers and the developers time.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Well, cool. This was our, this went over a little longer than we wanted or than we thought we would, but it's still a shorter episode by about half. I think it's been really good to discuss APIs from both ends, the developer and the consumer. I've had a lot of fun. I hope we each learned something.
All right. Well, I guess until next time.
Yeah, we're going to try and do these a lot more frequently. So stay tuned, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Code Talk with Matt and Steven. Check us out on Twitter at @CodeTalkPodcast or online at codetalk.simplecast.fm. Until next time.